This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and on the show today with me is runner and blogger extraordinaire, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, are you ready to answer some questions?
I am. I can't wait. Mike, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay. Trying to get my training jump-started again. I had some issues to deal with, and I'm ready to go and just want to make sure that I do everything right. So
I'm glad you're doing it safely.
Yes, that's the only way to do it. Today we're going to be
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I had a shout-out before you go on.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes, I want to give our Mickey Miles shout-out. This is a very special one to both of us. We have a good friend who just retired as a police officer after many, many years. And he's a runner, and he's a Disney lover, and his name is Stan Harris. And we have a very fond place in our hearts for him. And I know that Stan is off celebrating on a Disney cruise this week, but we wanted to give him a huge thank you for his service and a huge Mickey Miles podcast shout out. So yay, Stan.
I want to second that. Stan, thank you very much. And he is one of those people who I always put at the top of my list for someone who encourages all runners. And, you know, we really love Stan, and we'll see him in January.
You're absolutely right. Every time I put something on Daily Mile, or if I write that I've, you know, run a certain distance, he is one of the first people not only giving me, you know, a virtual high five, but also everybody else out there too. So super nice guy.
Super nice guy. And we're going to be super nice today, because today we're going to be answering questions. But more than that, at the end of the show, we will be awarding a free pair of socks.
Did you say free pair of socks?
A free pair of socks. And those were being offered by Steve Bernhardt, Sock Geek, who unfortunately cannot be with us on this show. But Michelle, why don't you tell everybody how we're going to do this?
Well, we decided through Steve's generosity, because he's got a big old pile of socks there in Austin, Texas, that he's dying to give away. We decided that anybody who submitted a question to Mickey Miles, whether it was on our Twitter feed at Mickey Miles Pod or Facebook page, or even getting lots of emails now, they would be eligible to win a pair of socks. So because this is our third question show, where everybody who wrote a question for today is eligible, but we thought it would be only fair to include those who submitted for the first two question shows. So for this first show, I'll read off the names at the end. We will randomly pick a name, and then that person will get a free pair of very cool running socks. So that's how we're going to do it. But you have to wait till the end to figure out who gets it.
So, Michelle, I'm going to ask you now, and I'm going to ask you at the end of the show, too. So let's say so-and-so is the lucky winner today. How would that person contact us to let them know where we should send? So they have to tell – how would we know where to send the socks?
They can do it one of two ways. They can either send us a message on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast, or they can send a note to us at questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com and let us know what your address is, and we'll send you out those socks ASAP.
Sounds like a deal. And with that, let's go to our first question. It comes from – and boy, I'm going to be really challenged – to make sure that I pronounce these names right. We have international listeners, and the first is questions from Emerson Pratt from the University of Otago in Dunedin, New Zealand. Let's see what he has to say. So Emerson says, first off, I want to say what a great podcast. I remember doing search sometime for a Disney running podcast and could not find anything, so I was elated when I saw Mike's Twitter post about this new adventure. I'm in the early stages of planning for the 2014 Walt Disney World Marathon, and considering the Goofy Challenge, Being from Dunedin, New Zealand, it is about a 30 to 36-hour trip from my door to my WDW hotel room by the time you count waiting for connecting plans and planes in Auckland and San Francisco and L.A. And says, I normally don't have an issue with jet lag, but I'm worried about how long it will take the legs and body to recover from being confined for 2 days without being able to get a run in before a race. How many days would you get to Walt Disney World before a race? And what type of training would you do to stretch out the legs? Maybe the force break will work in my favor a bit, but I feel I need a runner so before the race. So any ideas about how your week would look like before the goofy, considering my trip, would be appreciated. So Michelle, this is a little unusual. It's not like you're a normal runner. You're talking about an extended time zone differential here. And what would you tell Emerson?
Well, Emerson, I'm not an expert on this, but I have been to Africa several times, and I can't imagine being on a plane for 30 to 36 hours.
Yes.
Africa's about 17 or 18 hours. I know one of the things that I do on the plane is actually, because it's there's 747s, I've actually done walking laps in the 747. But I think for me, I can only answer this for me, if I were doing this, I find the jet lag coming this way, towards the U.S. is worse than going the other way. I would say at least a week, especially if you feel like you're going to get a run, you want to get a run in to get there, at least a week to get your legs together, wait a day or two, and then maybe do a 5K distance. But give yourself several days off before that goofy in between. So if you have the luxury, I'd say a week. What would you say, Mike?
I'm trying to go back in my experience. The closest that I think you're right, Michelle. I think the closest I came to something like this was I flew to France last year and took off at 6 o'clock at night, and I landed at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I had a few hours sleep. I spent the day relaxing. The next morning, I went out and I ran a 10K. But 10K is different than running a half marathon, marathon of the goofy. So my advice, Emerson, would be like Michelle. I would say, give yourself 48 hours before you run. And if you can, get there as early as you can. If you're doing the January races, if you could arrive on a Tuesday and relax and maybe Thursday go out and run a 5K, that might just do the trick for you. I think that that would be my recommendation. Getting there Tuesday, making sure your body clock is reset after 48 hours, and then maybe that Thursday do a 5K. Michelle, you want to add any last thoughts on this?
Sure. I mean, there's Mike and I know a lot about running Disney, and we know that there's a lot of expertise out there with our listeners too. So this is one of the reasons we really want to use Facebook to help us out. So we will open this up for our Facebook friends too and post this question. So maybe somebody else has some additional information that they could give you. But I think that if you give yourself several days, a week, 5 days, and get that little run in, that you're going to be fine. And we hope to see you again, Emerson.
Yes, yes, very much so. And you can never get too much information when it comes to running. So we'll look forward to some experiences that other listeners have that can offer Emerson some advice. We now go to Grace Lake, Illinois, from Chris, who says, "Hey guys, I found your show about a month ago, and I've enjoyed the previous episodes, and I thank you for making those available along with the ongoing shows. I had a few questions that I'd like to have answered. I ran cross country in high school, but I stopped for 11 years, and then I picked it back up in March. I'm doing well for a newbie. I'm having run shorter distances. I've enjoyed the longer distances I run, but I'm afraid that I'm unaware of how to deal with things I'm running into. Any thoughts on energy gels or during race nutrition other than the obvious water sports drinks? I've noticed that during longer runs, 8+ miles, my ankles hurt a lot during the day, especially the next day. I usually run at 4 in the morning." Chris also says, "Any ideas on preventing calloused feet? I used to wear regular Hanes cotton socks, which ended up blistering like crazy, to gold toe power socks, and it's an improvement. but I still get calloused. My running shoes were recommended by a running shop, which I trust. Perhaps I need to be refitted. These were fitted when my longest distance was 5 miles. I know some of these have been chatted about a bit in other shows. Thanks in advance for any insight you can give. All right. So, Michelle, one of the things I think here is just very appropriate for you to address because yesterday you went on a 17-mile run. And in order for you to be able to do that and to make sure that things were all set, you had to prepare. So I was wondering if you could address that part of Chris's question by telling him how you prepared.
Sure. It's funny. I know, Mike, you and I were talking about this. I think sometimes for these longer runs, preparing for the run, it feels like it takes longer than the run. But I knew that I was doing 17 miles, and I knew that I needed to make sure that my hydration and my nutrition were okay. So one of the things that I decided to do was to get a big container of Goo Brew, and that's an electrolyte drink. And I had that available. I had, it depends on how far you're going. If I'm only going about 6 miles, I might take 2 bottles. Yesterday I had 17 miles, I actually took 6 bottles of electrolyte drink with me. But you have to kind of see what works for you. Drink often. Every 10 minutes I was taking a little bit of a sip, but I prepare those ahead of time. There are all sorts of electrolyte drinks. You have to find out what works for you. I like Goo Brew very much. There's also one called Noon, N-U-U-N, that I like very much. Some people like Powerade. Some people like, other things. You have to find what works for you. I think the consensus is that it's good to do an electrolyte drink versus just have water, because you are losing a lot of salt and electrolytes during your run, so it's important to do that. The other thing is for the gels, one of the things that I've learned is that everybody has to kind of figure out what works for them in terms of their fueling during the race. Yesterday, I tried having a gel about 15 minutes before I started. Steve had mentioned on a previous show using a gel with caffeine, and I tried that. It worked for me very, very well. And then about 45 minutes into the run, about every half an hour, I had another gel. My brother, who's an endurance athlete, recommended, instead of Goo's, which I find to be a little bit too thick for me, Power Bar gel, and that's a little more watery, and I like that very much too. And then after my running, I have a protein drink that I got at the vitamin shop that is a recovery drink, and I have that waiting for me in the car. So it's a lot of planning to run these longer distances, but I think it helped me recover today. I'm feeling pretty, pretty good. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I've learned that the best information I can get is from those people who are doing those ultra marathon distances, and I've learned and talked and listened to a lot of those people, and what I've heard most of the time, and even Jeff Galloway has said this, that you the things that you do early on in your runs are investments for later on, and you reap dividends. And one of the things that I've learned is that 15 minutes before my runs, I will take a gel and I will watch the clock. I will watch my Garmin and I will be like clockwork as far as taking the electrolyte drink every 10 or 15 minutes and taking a Goo maybe every half an hour to 45 minutes. And one of the things I've learned is that when you take the gel, instead of swallowing it and putting it in your stomach, as much as you can, rub it using your tongue. This may sound gross. Rub it on your gums. Rub it around the gums in the top of your mouth or whatever, because your body absorbs it and it will bypass the stomach. And I tried that and it seemed to work. I can get the benefit from it much, much better. And it's very important to stay on some kind of a schedule when you're using nutrition during your runs.
I think we need to remember too that the Goo isn't right for everybody. But they also have gummy things, blocks that you can have. There are other types of chews that you can buy. I don't like the chews. I lost a cap during a Disney race once when I was running and I had one. But I think that's a really big part of the why you need to do the training. It's not just getting the distances. It's trying to figure out what type of fueling, what type of hydration makes you feel the best. And I've been running for about 4 or 5 years now, and I think yesterday for my long run, I got it right, I think completely right for the first time for me. And so, you know, I need to keep up with what I did, but I think it's different for everybody. I know when Mike and I run together, he drinks a lot less than I do, and he's fine with that. You just have to figure out what's right with you.
That's right.
I noticed another question that Chris had was that he's having problems with his ankles hurting during the day. Mike, yes. What do you think about that?
I'm wondering if it could be something that involves maybe warming up a little bit more before he runs. Sometimes we all get so anxious to get out there and run that we don't do the proper warm-ups. And one of the things that I tried last year when I was training for this back-to-back half marathon weekend is doing what Jeff Galloway said. He says, you know, walk about 5 minutes before you begin your run, then maybe run for about 30 seconds and then walk and then run. It gets everything going. And the only thing I can think of is that might help. What you may want to do, Chris, is think about how you begin your run. Think about how you start off and maybe some warm-up, flexing your ankles a little bit, walking a bit before you actually run. Maybe you're running really fast and maybe you should, you know, think about how fast you should go so that, you know, you won't injure yourself. That's what I'm thinking. Michelle, can you add to that?
Well, I wanted to add two things. One of the things is I went to a class last year that I found very, very helpful on chi running. And I'm not saying that it's right for everybody, but I took away one really good tidbit, which was if it's hurting while you're running, you should stop doing it. So if your ankles are hurting you, Chris, it sounds like they're not hurting until afterwards, but if they're hurting at all during the run, then I would try to change your form a little bit or walk or do something to make that pain stop. The second thing that I'd recommend that I've added this year that's been very helpful to me, and I hope we do a podcast about this because I just think it's a really interesting topic, is I've been doing strength training this year. And I used to think, to have a personal trainer, it's something that, you need to find the pot at the end of the rainbow to be able to afford. But I found through my local YMCA that it's very, very affordable. And I work with somebody for 2 half-hour sessions a week because I found that I was getting lots of little injuries like the kinds that you're mentioning, Chris. And he's really helped me to build up my legs, build up my ankles, build up my core. And I think that's today, after having run 17 miles, I've bounced back beautifully. I have very little soreness. So I think that trying to do cross training and maybe strength training, even if you don't work with somebody, but you know, just look online for information about strength training, could be helpful to your ankles too.
Okay, let's see. The next item on Chris's list was any ideas on preventing calloused feet.
Ooh,
he says, I used to
this
wear.
This is where we need Steve, huh?
Yeah, he says, he also talks about the socks and everything, and it's an improvement on blisters, but I still get calloused. Okay, so let's talk about the socks. I know that Steve would be right there saying that you want to wear whatever socks you can get that will draw the moisture away from the shoe. You want the sock to be a wicking sock. So if you can get that moisture away from your foot and on the other side of the sock, between the sock and the shoe, that will be step one in preventing blisters. And also, I guess, would also help, at least it wouldn't hurt, trying to prevent those feet from getting calloused. I do know that many times people will, if you go into a running store and they'll ask you about, what you want to run in, one of the things that they're very, very key on is the fitting, making sure that the shoes you have are soft soles, and calluses may be from a shoe that's too tight and it's not fitting you right. You may need to have a little bit of a wider shoe. Maybe your toe box needs to be wider. Maybe you need to have more depth in the shoe, as they would say. I know that I don't want to speak for Steve, but I think he would say that you don't want to wear a shoe which you have to squeeze your foot into. And also, the lower the heels, the better. Michelle, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, like you're one of the ugly stepsisters. You don't want to have a shoe that's too small. Well, you know, it's interesting. Before I even met Steve, I started to get the idea of having good socks. And I have to say, going to the running store and looking at how much the socks cost, it kind of blew me away, because they're about $10 for a good pair of socks, $9 or $10. So what I started to do was I kind of didn't go and buy 10 pairs of socks, but every time I went to the running store, I would invest in one pair of socks. And now I have a whole bunch of them. And they really do make a difference. Steve is absolutely right. So kind of build up your sock collection. I think it makes a difference. But the biggest thing that I do to help prevent blisters for me is I use Glide, Body Glide. And I actually started to do this as somebody who walked around Disney parks and used to get blisters all the time in my sneakers. I'd put the Body Glide in between every single toe, on the outside of my feet, on the inside, really all over my whole foot before I start running, but especially in between my toes where I tend to get blisters. And that's really prevented a lot of problems for me.
Yeah, there are so many... there's so many little things that you can do. There are some people who would say, use those extra padded, and I do this. I use those extra padded shoe inserts. They're called soft soles. I take the inserts that are in the shoes, that come with the shoes, and I replace them with these soft soles. It gives me a little extra help. So hopefully that'll help. I guess that's pretty much what Chris's questions were.
Those are great questions.
Yeah,
thanks, Chris.
Very, very good questions. Let's go on to Erica Alia, who on our Facebook page, she asked, what is the youngest age for a runner in the half marathon? My son is 12 and is a runner on his cross country and track team who would like to take part.
That's a great question, Erica. When I ran the Wine and Dine 2 years ago, I noticed that a very young person blew by me about mile 8 or 9, and I had that question myself. I haven't looked into it. And I know, you know, there are many kids who run the 5K, but we're talking about a big difference when we move up to a half marathon. So, Erica, I'm a college professor. I love doing research, and it took me a while to find the answer to this. I didn't know off the top of my head. So here is the answer. I kind of deduced this. I couldn't find it on the Run Disney website. I actually emailed them, and I never heard back. So I have found the answer by looking at some other information. So here's what I found. Run Disney gives awards for different age ranges, and the youngest age range that awards are given out to are the 14 through 17 year old age range. And so I am assuming that the youngest that you can run for the half marathon is 14 years old. I also did some other checking around. I noticed on some discussion boards people said the same thing. So I think you need to wait a little bit for your youngster to be able to run the half marathon with you. For the marathon, the youngest seems to be 18 years old. So those seem to be the age limits for those groups.
You know, Michelle, I want to add something to that for those parents who are listening and wondering when their children would be old enough to run in a Run Disney race. I want to direct them to our shows that deal we're right between the shows that deal with runner's etiquette. I think it's never too early to let your children know what is expected of them in a race and what to expect. And so if they are getting ready for their first Disney race, it doesn't matter if it's a 5K or a half marathon or whatever. I really would encourage them to listen to our shows and make sure that they do the best job they can in preparing their children for their first race.
That's a great idea. Love it.
Our last question, I believe, is from Alex Armis, who is from Hapeville, Georgia. And he says, other than running with a charity group, is there any way to get into the sold-out January half marathon or full marathon if I'm not already registered? And he also says, Run Disney have a wait list from runner cancellations? Thanks. I do know that the races are sold out. It's always there's usually a link on the Run Disney page for particular events. If regarding some charity like Team and Training or places like that who will take on they have slots. I want to make sure that everybody understands, though, that you have to play by their rules, and that could mean that you need to raise a certain amount of money to participate under their banner. And also that sometimes means that if you and I know this I've talked with people who have done this, that also means that you may have to share a room with a stranger. I don't know how true that is. If you already have a room, that's a different story, but I know that rooms are hard to get on marathon weekend.
So, but, Mike, what, I'm sorry, you know, just for clarification, what you're saying is those charity groups like Team and Training, they handle your room arrangements too?
If you need to, and there have been people who I've talked with that have said, I want to run in the race. Now I have to pay them. I have to give them so much money. I have to raise so much money, and at the same time, I'll be rooming with a stranger because they don't have a room. But that's something that doesn't necessarily have to be. You know, you'll find a room somewhere. But I think that what the most important thing that we can tell everyone is that if you are looking for a charity to run with so that you can get into the race, be prepared to play by their rules. And sometimes that's a little difficult. So,
but it sounds like Alex doesn't want to do that. So we do have another alternative, which is I can't remember, Mike, which race we did last year. I want to say it was the Wine and Dine, that we were actually waitlisted. We were given the option to be on a waitlist. We tried to log in through active.com. It said the race was full, and when we finished registering, they didn't take our money, but they said that they were going to put us on this wait list. And both of us did actually get pulled off the wait list and were able to join that race. So I would try to go ahead and register, Alex, if you think that you're going to want to do it. It doesn't hurt. And then see what happens. The other option is I would suggest maybe contacting Run Disney, and I'll tell you the way to do that. You can call them at 407-938-3398, or you can email them at rundisney@disneysports.com. And my philosophy is it never hurts to ask, but I think if you go in and try to register, if they're allowing people to be added to the wait list, it will pop up on active.com. And again, you will not be charged until your name gets pulled off that wait list.
Yeah, it's always good to, you know, keep going forward, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you always want to give it that old college try. And I remember, Michelle, that I think it was you that encouraged me to say, yeah, let's try to register. So take, I think you gave the best advice. Go through the registration process and see what happens. You never know. And they usually will let you know by a certain date. Because you have to prepare. So,
I think Mike, that kind of speaks to the popularity of these races. I know that this is the 20th anniversary, but these races are filling up. I was actually entertaining the idea of the Tinkerbell out in California. It's already filled up. And so if you think that you're going to want to run these races, you should probably look ahead and go ahead and register, because I know that this. We knew last year when we were thinking about running a marathon that this is going to fill up quickly because of the very cool medal and the 20th anniversary. But give it a try, Alex. I hope you get it. I hope you're able to get into the race.
Yeah, I get this question so many times, and I it's hard to say when, but I would say, you know, don't wait any closer than 6 months before the race, before registering. You can always... You know, if you have to defer, if you have to bow out, you can, but you usually have enough time.
Yeah, when I see it getting around 75% and I'm on the fence, I know that it's time to really start thinking about whether or not I'm going to do it.
That's a good point. Okay,
hey,
so.
Hey, Mike, are we ready to give away some socks?
Yes, ready. I'm going to turn it over to you, lady.
So I'm going to let you know the people who are eligible. So everybody who emailed us tonight, which is Emerson, Chris, Erica, and Alex, but also here are the people who emailed us on previous shows: Marcy, Joseph, Michael, and Phil. And I hope I didn't miss anybody, but if I did, please do let me know. So what we're going to do is we're going to just choose a random name, And I'm going to let that person know who got the socks. So are we ready?
Let's go.
All right. So let's see. The person who won the socks is Michael, who wrote an email about you on a previous a previous episode. So, Michael, if you're listening, please let us know what your address is. Email us at questions@mickeymiles.com, or you can let us know on the Facebook page, and we'll send you out some socks. So we would love to send those to you.
Congratulations, Mike, and thank you, Steve Bernhardt, Sock Geek from Capital City Running, for donating those socks. We appreciate your generosity, and we appreciate your questions, everyone, and keep those questions coming, because we hope to answer them, and you may win a pair of socks. You never know.
Yeah, I think Michael was actually the first person who sent to us a question, too.
Well, that's cool. Did you mention to send the size?
Yeah, you should send the size. It's Michael Corbett, by the way. Michael Corbett is the person who won. And he is from Lehigh, Utah.
Lehigh, Utah. Yeah. I've been there. I've been to Utah. I don't know if I've been to Utah. Nice. But
Michael's going to be strutting around in some very nice socks in Utah.
Yeah. And that will take care of this episode 8 of the Mickey Miles podcast. Michelle, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You'll be there. And the conversation again continues. Again, you know, send us your questions. I'll let Rick tell you about that as we sign off. And so without further ado, let me say, on behalf of Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa from the Mickey Miles podcast. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying, until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.